Good morning, everyone. So for the sermon today, I've really been thinking about prayer. Prayer is something that we just spend an hour in prayer on Wednesday. It's something that we do each quarter where we think about prayer and its importance, and we all ask for prayers and things like that. So today, I put a sermon around prayer. Now, to kind of give you some context of how I formulated things today, I've recently been reading a book called Deep Work, and I read it several years ago, and since I've been driving to downtown Dayton every day, I've had the opportunity in the past to work a few days from home, but I've been having to go in every day. I've been listening to it in the car, and then I think everybody from the military base has had to go back to work too because it's now added an extra 25 minutes onto my drive every morning. Just due to traffic, where that traffic wasn't there before, then all of a sudden now it is. And sometimes the base will back all the way up. I'm not driving to the base. I'm trying to get to Sinclair, but it still backs up the highway. So I've been listening to this book, and it's on deep work. And the idea of this book is to focus on how we can prepare ourselves to work on things that aren't just simple tasks. We might be studying for a certification or having to get a large project done at work. How do we set aside that time and then that thought pattern in order to get that done? Well, when I've been listening to this book, I'm like, wow, I could really apply a lot of that to prayer. Now, I'm not really going to get into much intents of the book or anything like that. That was just kind of summing up how I came up with the sermon this morning. So, of course, that book is called Deep Work, so I called this sermon Deep Prayer. So with that, we are going to be looking at Matthew 6. So if you would like to turn over to Matthew 6, we're actually going to be reading some passages from it this morning, and we're going to get into why we're going to be reading from that area. As we go through the flow of the lesson today, we are going to take a look at Matthew 6. We're going to look at this story from the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we're getting this idea of prayer from. And we're going to be focused on some of those pieces. And then I'd like to give 10 different thoughts towards our work towards deep prayer. So with this, in Matthew 6:6, I kind of just have this verse up here as kind of how we're going to start it off this morning. So it says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you in secret." So that's kind of where we're starting this morning. So when we think of Matthew 6, to put it in a little bit more context this morning, with Matthew 6, it's a part of the larger Sermon on the Mount. So when we think about the Sermon on the Mount, it covers Matthew's chapters 5 through 7. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his followers what life is in the kingdom should look like. It focuses on the heart and not just outward action. It also, through Matthew 6, it focuses on giving, praying, and fasting. Also warning against doing them for show and teaching us how to do them sincerely. And that's what we're going to be focused on this morning. When we think about prayer and how we pray and the reasons for prayer, that's what we're going to be focused on as we go throughout this. Now, prayer to me is very interesting, just the structure and how we are to pray. And we're going to focus on those topics as we go throughout this, but we're given a model prayer to pray. And if you're in Matthew 6, we're going to start with verse 5 this morning. So hopefully you're already there in Matthew 6. So I'm going to read Matthew 6, 5 through 15, and we're going to talk about some individual pieces of this prayer. So in Matthew 6 this morning, here in verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." That's kind of like our mantra for this study today. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask them. So we're building up to this model of prayer. So Jesus says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, just as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So with this model prayer, we can think of things to build off of this. Now, Brad slightly mentioned this on Wednesday about this model prayer and what we should do. But I've been working on a table to kind of think about how each of these things relate to us as prayer and what we're on to focus on. So I'm hoping this table helps everyone out this morning. This is kind of how I've laid a few things out, and hopefully this will help us wrap our minds around these things. So I'm just going to kind of go through the top as we think about each individual piece of this prayer. So when we think about the parts of the prayer, they're over here on this side. We have the focus of the prayer and then the meaning of each of the sections that Jesus prayed for. So when we think about this, we think about the first part where it says, our Father in heaven. This talks about a relationship. This is our relationship with him. We approach God as our loving Father, intimate yet powerful. Hallowed be thy name. This idea of worship and honoring and praising God, his holiness and his greatness. Your kingdom come, the mission that God has. We pray for God's rule and reign in this world that we live. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I have this down as surrender, and I've kind of been going back and forth with the focus of this. I almost think the focus of this would be more that we follow God's will and that God's will is what's done and not ours. So submit our desires to God's perfect will. Then we think about, give us this day our daily bread, our needs. Ask God to provide for our daily and physical and spiritual needs. As mentioned in the verse, it already says that God already knows what our needs are. But we are to pray to God for those things. We think about, forgive us our debts. And as we forgive our debtors, think about our relationships with one another and other individuals as we build our relationships, seeking forgiveness of our sins and extending forgiveness to others. We see how important it was in that verse because that's what Jesus closes us with, about how if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. Also, guidance, not leading us into temptation. We pray for strength and wisdom to avoid sin. Also, deliver us from the evil one. We think about how God protects us. Ask God to protect us from Satan and his evil influences. And for yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. We think about praising God. And it's ended with the acknowledgement of God's ultimate rule and authority and glory on this earth. I hope that this table makes sense. We think about those each of those individual pieces and about what they mean to us. And about how even when we formulate our own prayers, if we think about what each of these things focus on. Now, if I were to close my eyes and to think about what each of these things are, I'm probably going to forget it. So this is something that I would need to practice to do. I would need to think about each of these areas and think about how I need to approach these in my prayer. As I was breaking this down further, I was thinking, you know, I might be able to get it into some themes. So if I was to put some themes to each of these, I was thinking about worship God, pray for God's will, pray for our daily needs, Pray for forgiveness. Pray for guidance. Pray for protection. Then also end it with worship and confidence. So I was really thinking a lot about this Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus was mentioning to everyone that would have been there. Now, Jesus had a large audience during this time. We know that many Jews would have also have been there. And we think about the way that it was addressed. And to think about that, a lot of the things that Jesus directly addressed, now this, I could have had a whole sermon just in this itself, about most of the things that Jesus mentioned and as he builds his prayer, you can relate it to other things that happen in the Old Testament, about how it builds off of each individual thing. Especially, I went back and read Daniel when I was studying this, and to think about some of the things that he prayed for, the things that were happening, especially here in Daniel 2 and 4 about Jesus or God's kingdom coming, and about each of those pieces kind of laying out while Jesus is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount about how these things are getting ready to come into fruition. That really this prayer, that this model prayer that Jesus is praying, is really showing the way forward about how Christians were to lead their lives from there. Now, as mentioned up here, I didn't go into this fully. Like I said, this could have been on the sermon in itself about how we can relate most of the things that Jesus said in this sermon back to Old Testament scripture and how it built for this time frame. So I recommend everybody to kind of study that out. I did find it very interesting about how this could be built out from there. But from here, I would like to think about those things that we've just studied in this short amount of time. Just about these short thoughts that I've given so far about this Sermon on the Mount and about the model prayer and how we can divide it up into different areas. I'd like to think of possibly 10 habits as we wrap things up today, 10 habits that we can consider when we walk away from here to help our daily prayer habits. Now, I don't know if the kids do this today anymore, but I had to do the 10 habits of highly effective teens when I was in high school. I don't know if they make kids do that anymore. Now they have like the 10 habits of highly effective professors now. It seems like John Covey has done a lot of that now. But I was thinking if we were to break these down into 10 individual habits, what might they be? Now, as we know, habits take a long time to develop. And you have to continually do them in order to consider it a habit. So as I go over these this morning, I'm going to lay these out, and then I'm going to touch on some verses and some stories that will go with each of them. So number one, hopefully that's not too far away. I'm going to go over these again, so hopefully you'll see them fine. So setting aside a specific time each day for prayer to build a habit. Find a quiet place free from distraction like phones and other devices. Using a simple prayer structure for journaling to stay focused. Practice mindfulness or breathing techniques before you start to calm your mind. Keep a notepad handy to jot down distracting thoughts so you can return to them later. I find this probably my favorite one. Using scripture or devotional as a guide to keep your mind engaged. Starting with shorter sessions and gradually increasing them the time that you focus. Now, I like this one as well. I don't know if anybody has ever tried to set aside times to stay focused and how hard it is to stay focused. Now, my focus ranges between how much caffeine I have in a day. But focus is a very difficult thing, I think, to do. Normally when I'm at work, I'm working on 5 or 6 different projects at a time, but staying focused on one project or one thing for a certain amount of time is fairly difficult. For instance, if I was to time the prayers that we did today, I'm not sure if any of them would have went over 5 minutes. But think about when you go home and you pray, if you were to set a clock for 5 minutes and to think and try to focus on that prayer for 5 minutes and not doing anything outside of it, it's a little bit of a challenge. And to think if we were to build that habit and to build that muscle of focus, it's actually very difficult to go from 5 minutes to 7 minutes to 10 minutes. Yeah. we're only talking of, you know, not a long given amount of time. But today, with a lot of our distractions and everything, that's actually a difficult thing to achieve. So praying with others occasionally to gain new perspective and accountability. I feel like that's what we do here when we pray for one another. Reflecting on our prayers. Do we reflect about what we've prayed for? Has God answered those prayers that we have prayed for? Are we striving towards specific things? Also, in being patient with yourself and remembering that deep prayer, like deep work, is a skill that develops over time. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to just look at some verses to kind of connect these things together. So starting back with the first one, setting aside a specific time each day for prayer. Now, here in Daniel 6 and 10, Darius just signed a decree that you could not pray to anyone or any god other than to him or the king. So this had just happened. So Darius had just signed this. So here in Daniel 6 and 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. So I like showing this because Daniel had a habit of doing this. He set aside three times a day to do this. Now, the people that helped sign the decree knew that he was going to do that, and we know what happened. He got thrown into the lion's den because he did this. This was his practice and his habit. So we see that he formed that habit of coming, going to God in prayer. Now, trying to find a quiet place to do this, I think about Mark 1 and 35. When we think about going somewhere away from distraction, Jesus even did this in Mark 3 and 35. It says, now in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He found a quiet place that he could retreat to pray. Right now, my quiet place is noise-canceling headphones. And I think about that often. I was even thinking about this sermon when I was mowing yesterday. And I used my noise-canceling headphones just to cancel out the sound of the mower to focus on saying a prayer, even when I was mowing, just to kind of be aside, to set aside this time to do this. So we see that even Jesus left to go pray. Now, we see that often Jesus did this. There was multiple times. I'm just using Mark 1:35 as an example here. But we see multiple times, even before he was betrayed, he did this. He went out by himself. Even the apostles stayed behind, and he continued by himself. So we see that this happened often. Also, using a simple prayer structure or journaling to stay focused. As we know, when things come at us, sometimes it's hard to stay focused on those things. That's why I like to write down the prayers that are needed before we make announcements. We can think about how that helps us structure our prayers even during our services this morning. So in Psalms 19 and 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think about the words of God and about those times we need to spend in meditation, staying focused so we know what to pray for. We know what our brothers and sisters would need. We know what we would need to take care of. Also, practicing mindfulness or breathing techniques before we start to calm our mind. In Philippians 4 and 6, I think we even kind of touched on this morning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. By thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So again, as I was studying this, I don't know if you've noticed, but none of these pictures of are real people. I used an AI engine to develop these pictures this morning. every time that I wanted to display somebody praying, they always had their hands folded in front of them. I think that's kind of like our universal sign for prayer. But has anybody ever thought about why that is? I actually did a deep study a couple days ago about why we pray with our hands like this, or why that's such that symbol. That symbol actually goes back years and years ago, about when somebody was to give up, not give up like in a war, but to show peacefulness and to show that you've given everything to that other individual. So take, for instance, if you were being attacked, you would put your hands together to show that you had no weapon, that you are in peace, and that you are doing everything together. Now, this goes on into the 17th century and the 18th century, especially when people went before a king. It was to show that they gave everything to that person, that they had nothing, that they were to be in honor of that. Then kind of Christians and other groups brought that in, that, you know, it's to show our supplication and well-being to God, that we have nothing and everything belongs to God. And I never thought of that. There's actually quite a deep study in that. In the Old Testament, we actually see that people actually raised their hands when they prayed to God. So there's a couple different images and ideas I was thinking about that when thinking about bringing our minds in a focus towards God. Also, we can think about keeping a journal and writing down things that might distract us later. So in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So as we're studying, or as we're praying to God, we will have other thoughts come into our minds. However, keeping something handy that we can write that down to return to later, so that can be removed from our minds. I think about this often, as maybe I'm getting ready to go to work. I think of everything that I need to take care of when I get to work. However, I use a program that keeps my tasks together, and I feel like when I put a task down, I can forget about it because it's recorded to come back to later. It kind of puts my mind at ease as I'm getting ready to approach the day. So with this morning, I was considering that's a great idea when we pray or when we study. As other distractions come in at us, we can journal them or put them down in a task list to do later. Now, I did have AI make this image, but I was thinking, hey, I need to do these exact same things. I need to email John, I need to buy groceries and call a porn probably. And as we go throughout our focus, we think about using scripture as a devotion or a guide to keep our mind engaged. As we know, the last sermon that I did at the beginning of this month, I did one on a lamp, about the lamp guiding our way. And I was thinking again in Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That as we study and as we think about our prayers and giving this to God, we think about that lamp guiding us. And also, as we build on to ourselves, as I was mentioning before, about how difficult it is to stay focused for a certain period of time, we think about starting with shorter sessions and building that up and building that muscle or that strength and focus. So in Mark 4:30-32, it says, then he said, to what shall be likened to the kingdom of God? Or what a parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up to become a greater than the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. To think how small a mustard seed is, but then it grows and then it builds. And it takes time to do that. So even with ourselves, about how what we should be focused on, about focusing on prayer, And maybe even just starting with 5 minutes and building from there. About how that our time, that we focus on that and build it just like how that mustard seed is. We think about praying with others to gain a new perspective. In Matthew 18 and 20, for whoever, but where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. To think about coming together and being with one another, that we can hear what our brothers and sisters also need prayers for, that we can also focus on those things. And also, I learn from other people's prayers. I learn about how to approach those different things. Mike Ruchon brought a sermon, and Brad's also studied with us, about how to pray, especially about our forgiveness of sins. It's changed the way that I even approach that topic or those statements that I have in my prayer, or even the way that I think about how forgiveness of sins work. But all of that is what I've learned by coming together and to learning how we should approach those different pieces and about gaining that knowledge and understanding as we're growing with one another. Also about reflecting on our prayers, about what we've asked God for. I know that I enjoy when I walk around and I write the notes down for what we're going to say for the announcements. And I really enjoy some of the ones that we get that say, you know, God answered our prayers for this, or this is what happened. We think about seeing those in this time, but we know that it is his will, and that his will to be done. So here in James 1, 23 through 25, it says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the peaceful law of liberty and continues in it, this one will be blessed in what he does. I was thinking about that verse as us returning to God's word and thinking about what we need to do, especially when it comes to prayer, about what we need to reflect on, about thinking about what we need to ask God for, or about how we are to help others. So our last one this morning is being patient with yourself. And remembering that deep prayer, like deep work, is a skill that develops over time. I was thinking of Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good in due season. We shall reap it if we do not lose heart. And I think about losing heart as we might struggle to do things or strive to work on things. And if those things don't work out, we are not to turn away from it. We are to continue to grow in it. To keep continuing towards that growth. And about not looking away from it, but to build into it. So I hope these 10 things this morning, and as we were looking at kind of our chart today, about what we can take away from the Lord's Prayer and what we should be focused on. So just to kind of give you an idea, over the last month or so, I've been tracking my stress. This is going to sound strange. I bought an Oura ring, so I wear it all the time, so it automatically keeps track of stress and time. However, when I first put it on, at least for the first month or so, most of my graph was I was stressed out at least 9 hours a day. So high stress, high issues, all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, that's probably not good, because my chart was showing that my heart attack rate was like 10 years earlier than it should be. It was not a good chart. But just by understanding what I was doing wrong, I was able to pretty much completely flip it. Because I was tracking those things that was causing problems and being able to focus on other things that helped lower stress. Now, I've implemented more prayer into this. I've understood where my stresses were. Just kind of like those top 10 things that I mentioned today. Can we identify those areas that we're lacking in? Can we grow and strive to be better in our prayer? Can we make our chart? Can we fix our chart to look better rested and to think about studying God's word as we understand those issues that we may run into? So this morning, deep prayer, like deep work, requires focus, patience, and intentional practice. Setting aside time, creating a quiet place, praying, capturing distractions, and reflecting regularly, we can gradually lead to a richer, deeper relationship with God. So this morning, if you would like to have that deeper relationship with God, if you would like to become a child of His, to come in to His church, or if you would have any prayers or any needs, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.